Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Good morning to those live streaming. You're in the right place at the right time.
I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be. Oh, my soul is welcome here. Oh, my soul is welcome here.
Oh,
my soul is welcome here. Oh, my soul is welcome here. I am getting the message loud and clear. My soul is welcome here.
I'm getting the message.
I am getting the message loud and clear. My soul is welcome here.
Good morning, and welcome to our Sunday celebration service and experience that we bring to you wherever you happen to be today. We're grateful for your presence, and we know that we are always one in the Spirit. And with that awareness of our oneness, let us commune with the presence. We recognize it is in you that we live and move and have our beingness in. And as we tap into that awareness, we tap into all the qualities of the presence of God. And we ignite those qualities within us. As we make those qualities the activity of our consciousness, healings happen. Upliftment happens. Transformation happens. And we anchor a little bit more of heaven on earth everywhere that we go. We're grateful for this opportunity. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. Let us join and say our unity principles together. God is absolute good and everywhere present. People are inherently good. Thoughts create our experiences. And prayer and meditation are how we connect with God. And finally, we must take action.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Vierstra. I'm the Executive Director at Seniors First. We're the Meals on Wheels provider for Placer County. I want to thank this Spiritual Life Center so much for your generous $1,000 donation to help us provide services during this coronavirus pandemic. We truly appreciate your help and support. I wanted to just give you a little history of Seniors First. We've been around since 1971. We started with door-to-door rides, transportation services, and we've evolved since then to be the premier senior service agency in Placer County. We are a one-stop shop that seniors can call our information assistance line and get the services that they need from us. And if they can't get the services they need from us, then they can. We will connect them with services in our county. Some of the services we provide is the Meals on Wheels program. And we also have 7 congregate cafes throughout Placer County. We also have a friendly visitor program, transportation and health express program. And we do also do adult daycare for people that need respite, for clients that have dementia and Alzheimer's loved ones at home. Again, thank you so much for your support. We truly appreciate it. We can't do what we do without volunteers and donors like you. So thank you again for all of you do for us. We truly appreciate it.
Hashtag Giving Tuesday Now is a new global day of giving and unity that will take place on Tuesday, May 5th. It is an emergency response to the unprecedented need caused by COVID-19. As you know, Spiritual Life Center has been affected by the coronavirus too. You can find our official statement on our finances and more information on this Giving Tuesday event on our website at www.slcworld.org. For now, we'd like to remind you that together we can heal. Be a part of the solution and please show your support on Tuesday, May 5th.
Pour yourself in me. Pour yourself into my heart. Oh, wonderful Spirit. Please join us in singing.
Pour yourself in me. Pour yourself into my heart.
Sing your song.
Spiritual Life Center is a loving, vibrant family that welcomes home all people and accepts everyone, no exceptions. Weaving ancient spiritual traditions with emerging wisdom, we cultivate a spiritual deepening with the divine, each other, and our planet.
I invite you to take a nice deep breath. Settle into your chair. I open my heart. Please join us in singing.
I open my heart to be in the light. I open my heart to love. I open my heart to be in the light. I open my
as we continue to settle in, take a gentle breath and let it go. Relax into your chair. Take one more gentle breath and drop your shoulders. Relax your eyelids. Breathe normally as you allow yourself to drift into a light daydream. You are walking through a well-tended park. It is early spring. The air is cool and soft. Nature is displaying her spring colors all over the park. Flowers blaze in pinks and yellows. A bluebell rings out her colors. Trees are sprouting new leaves. Some are boasting their own blossoms, which is why a particular tree catches your attention. There's something different about it. As you come near the tree, you notice that even though it seems strong and healthy, it still retains the leaves from last fall. Tattered leaves of orange and gold and red are still hanging on. Here and there, a dull green leaf seems to be trying to emerge. But there is so much left from the fall that there's no room and there's no energy. You reach to a low branch and try to pick off one of the leaves, but it won't come off. So you tug a little harder, and it still won't let go. How odd. And then you see a sign down near the roots that says, "This is your tree of sorrows and woes." And it comes to you that perhaps the things that you have been holding on to are taking a toll on this tree. It can't let go. So you step closer to the tree and reach out. Touch it with your hand. Lean against it. Wrap your arms around it. In your own way, fully connect with the tree. As you commune with the tree, silently affirm, "I release all feelings of guilt, fear, anger, and resentment. I embrace love, forgiveness, and compassion. I release all feelings of guilt, fear, anger, and resentment. I embrace love, forgiveness, and compassion." In the silence. You are enfolded in peace. Something light lands on your shoulder. It is a fiery red leaf. Curious, you step back and you are astounded. The leaves finished turning colors, the oranges and reds and pinks and golds, and they are all falling from the tree. You stand in a rainbow rain of leaves. All around you, they tumble to the ground. A multicolored rug of leaves surrounds the tree, which is almost bare, as it should have been back in the fall. You have a deep sense of relief, and you can see where new leaves are starting to emerge from the branches. Looking up, you see that the sky has clouded over. A spring rain is coming. You know that the rain will revitalize the tree because it is ready for new growth and expansion. With a sense of relief and joy and peace, you turn to come back to your physical world. But then you remember that little sign. And so you bend to look at it. And it now says, "This is your tree of forgiveness and joy." And as you look at it once again, it is already sprouting leaves. And in gratitude, you walk down the path, take a deep breath, and as you start to become aware of your body and surroundings, receive this blessing. Oh, my beloved, forgive yourself first. Acknowledge your sad and resentful feelings. Then offer them up so that they may drop away and be transmuted into forgiveness and then into joy. In this way, you will be able to live your life fully and completely in a consciousness of love and joy. Remember this always.
Spirit is flowing, Spirit is moving, the greatest good into my life. By faith I believe it, with joy I receive it. Greatest expression of good in my life. Spirit is flowing,
Spirit is flowing,
Spirit is moving,
Spirit is moving.
The greatest good into my life.
Greatest good into my life.
By faith I believe it.
By faith I believe.
Joy I receive it.
With joy I receive it.
The greatest expression of good in my life. I never dreamed that I would have a life as rich as mine. Spirit just keeps revealing new treasures for me to
once again, and welcome to our Sunday morning experience. I recall in the early 2000s, I met a gentleman by the name of Asim Kamisa. We were in Southern California, and he was sharing with me a story about his son, Tariq. And Tariq was like 20 years old, and he was telling the time that he was delivering a pizza in San Diego, California. And his son, unfortunately, was shot and killed by a 14-year-old gang member named Tony Hicks. And that young man was acting on the orders of an older person in the gang. And Asim's son, Tariq, he described to me as a great soul, that he was wise and charismatic, that he was good-looking and a college student with a wonderful, beautiful girlfriend that he had planned to marry. And according to Asim, it took all of his willpower just to get out of bed every day after this incident took place. He realized at some point that the tragedy was about victims at both ends of the gun, not just his son. One, of course, was his son, but the other was a 14-year-old young man who was a member of that gang. And so Sim felt he needed to take his share of the responsibility for the bullet that took his son's life. So he began his road to forgiveness. And his first thing that he did, first thing that Sim did was to forgive the family of that other young man, Tony, and he formed a friendship with Tony's grandfather, who also was the guardian. And that guardian's name was Ples Felix. And Sim founded the Tariq Kamisa Foundation. And it was made in honor of his son. And the mission of this organization was to stop kids from killing kids. And the guardian and the father of the young man who pulled the trigger joined Kasim. And they dedicated themselves to that effort. And they began to give talks at schools. And they were teaching elementary school students, middle school students, high school students about the realities of revenge. And they were sharing the importance of making the right choices in their lives. And so what began as a dream of a heartbroken father eventually grew into an organization that offered violence prevention curriculum and mentoring services to over 20,000 students. And they did this every year from the time they created that organization. So what had happened is Azim transformed his grief into a powerful commitment to change, a powerful commitment to transform himself as well as other people that crossed his path. And that whole experience serves as a reminder that no matter past tragedies, no matter past disappointments or past denials, or whatever has happened up until this point in our lives, we can always begin again. The gentleman that I met demonstrated how forgiveness can be a window of opportunity for personal as well as societal transformation. It can affect change in so many levels with so many people. I think the lesson for us is that if we're going to begin anew in any point in our life, and we're going to soar, if we're going to go to new heights in our own experience, then we must, as Azim, who was the father of the son of his son who lost his life before his time, we must too purify our field of awareness. And we do that so that we can be a clear and vital instrument for a vision that is within us to come out. Because there's something within us all waiting to come out, but we have to remove the things that are blocking it. You know, I remember reading about Myrtle Fillmore, who was considered the mother of unity, who co-started the unity movement. And it all started when she had a miraculous healing. But one of the things that she said that led to her healing is that she had to forgive herself for judging herself for being sick in the first place. She noted that her unforgiveness was blocking. It was hindering her healing process. And it's a reminder that this presence that we call God, the force, or whatever you want to call it, can only do for us what we allow this God presence to do through us. So we must do our part. And then this presence of God provides the increase in our lives. Or as that scriptural reference says, the Father worketh, or the Father, Mother, God worketh, and I work as well. You know, as I look at this pandemic that we are in right now, I find myself sometimes looking for someone to blame, and who is at fault for allowing this thing to get out of hand, and somebody's got to pay for this situation for causing all of this havoc that is happening in our lives, this disruption. And of course, you know, I'm hurling negative energy in my own mind, forgetting that I'm carrying that baggage of my own perception. And when I do that, I'm stopping my own growth And thus, I'm being a cog in the wheel to not only my personal growth and transformation, but also as part of a society, the society's transformation, the society's paradigm shift that is trying to take place right now. You know, this experience that we're going through collectively is just that. It is an opportunity to see more that can be done in our individual and collective lives. But like anything else, as we look at these teachings, we start with where we are. We start with our own self. Because transformation starts with our inner work. That's what it's all about. It's not about changing external circumstances. It's not about changing external situations. It's not about changing other people. It's definitely not about that. You know, if we look at the master teacher, Jesus the Christ, he taught us that life is lived from within out. And everything, absolutely everything in creation unfolds from center to circumference in our experience. You know, this is particularly important to understand because we're working with spiritual causes. We're working with spiritual forces that are always at work behind the appearances that we see. You know, Jesus clearly stated in the Gospel of Luke, in the 17th chapter, 21st verse, that the kingdom of God is within. So his emphasis, and God's kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is ever-expanding good, starts within. So the emphasis was always concerned with our inner life, knowing that when we're right within ourselves, the outer life begins to take care of itself. So Jesus, Buddha, all the great avatars have focused the main responsibility in our lives is attending to our own awareness, our own consciousness. So it does no good to go into prayer or visualizations and say, God, change all those other people. We may try to bargain with God, say, well, if you do, God, I'll love you. But God says, I am love. We may say, God, I'll give you everything. But God says, I am your everything. We might try to say to get rid of our worst enemy, only to discover the worst enemy is within our own minds, within our own households. So we understand why Jesus put so much emphasis on forgiveness. And all the avatars put a great deal of emphasis on forgiveness. Because unforgiveness does not work the way that we intended to. We think the person that we're blaming will suffer. We think the person will be impacted in some way, shape, or form. But of course, no one suffers like the one doing the blaming. You know, Buddha said the resentment was like burning coal. A person picks it up from the fire with the intent of throwing it at someone else. But when they pick it up, it sticks to them like molasses and it burns his or her own flesh. You know, I look around. When I do go out every once in a while, I was in the Walmart line, and it was a long line. It was one of those Disneyland lines. Anyway, I was about to get some things, and I was hearing some person talking about what someone else didn't or did not do to cause all of this confusion and disruption. And it wasn't about accountability. It was just about blame and shame and sending venom toward others that I didn't even know who he was talking about. But no one suffers like the one who sends out that energy. No one suffers like the one sending out those kinds of thoughts of resentment and hostility and unforgiveness. Because it perpetuates an inner stress and it converts our natural wholeness, our natural well-being into ill-being. And in some respects, it is nothing more than political or should I say spiritual suicide. You know, there was a study of a group of people, and they were continuously depressed for long periods of time. I guess in psychology, they would call it clinical depression. It had nothing to do with any chemical imbalance. And what they discovered that nearly all of them were afflicted with something deadlier than ordinary pressures of their day-to-day life, or even more than, you know, some sort of, you know, inherent imbalance in their brains. They were all victims of their own resentful thoughts. And when resentful behavior is reduced, it leads to depression. You know, Catherine Ponder, who's a prosperity queen many years ago. In her book, Open Your Mind to Prosperity, said that if everyone practiced forgiveness daily, we would put most doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists and banks that loan money or whatever out of business, because everyone would be healthy and prosperous. That's a bold claim, but I think there's something in there for us to take a look at. Because an individual spends a whole lot of money, hard-earned money, trying to figure out why they're feeling out of sorts, why they're feeling depressed. Maybe we're forgetting that they've been spending a better part of their day fantasizing revenge, indulging in hostile thoughts toward a member of their family, a former partner or girlfriend or boyfriend, their boss, a co-worker, a teacher, an organization. Maybe it's a resentment toward a prominent political figure. Maybe it's just resentment toward the letters of the alphabet, IRS, for example. Sometimes people think they are the only one that this is happening to. And they say, why is God always doing this to me? Or we may be thinking that God has made us the chosen one. God's picking on me again. Absolutely not. When that happens, we're doing it to ourselves. I believe Spirit has in store for us as it relates to the field of fulfilling our heart's dreams, and it wants to fulfill the highest and best within us. But it begins anew only if we stop harboring any sense of resentment, unforgiveness, because that clutters up the field and it chokes out the plan and the vision that is within us that is seeking to come out. And the Spirit of the living God has something magnificent for each and every one of us. But when we have an unforgiving consciousness, we're not seeing the blessing that is right in front of us or what the God presence has in store for our life. You know, you may be familiar with this. You know, all of us at some point may have had the experience of cleaning up our homes or offices and discover things suddenly that we've been looking for a long time. I was getting something out of the garage the other day trying to find it, and I found some stuff I didn't even know I had forgotten about that I had looked for a long time ago. And I was saying to myself, I didn't know it was there, but I didn't find it until I cleaned up. And I said, oh, here it is. It wasn't lost. It's been here all the time, behind all that stuff that no longer serves me. You know, unforgiveness does not serve us. Resentment does not serve us. You know, when we have a resentful mind or a suspicious mind, we miss the divine idea that Spirit has knocking on our consciousness. Because what happens is that negative energy is drowning it out. It's blinding us from seeing it. You know, this COVID-19 experience can really be seen as an opportunity. It can be seen as an opportunity of a reset, an opportunity that reminds us what is truly important in life. Because we have to kind of sit still and say, what's really important? But we may not see it if we're holding any kind of negative energy of unforgiveness toward anything or anyone. You know, Gary Zukav, in his book, his classic text, The Seed of the Soul, reminds us that an authentically empowered person is one who forgives. Forgiveness is not something that's based upon some sort of moral code. It is an energy. It's an energy dynamic. And really, forgiveness means that we no longer carry the baggage of a past experience and bring it into the present moment. So it clouds us from seeing the possibility. So when we no longer bring it to the experience of the present moment, because if we do, that resentment is just reoccurring right now. And that's what resentment means. It means to re-sense, to feel something again and again, because there's no letting go, there's no release, and we're looking at life from a backward glance, or we're looking at it in retrospect as, you know, Lot's wife and that biblical story, look back and turn to a pillar of salt. Many live from this framework. They're living as if they're basing their life on a prayer from a country western song that says, looking back is all that I have to look forward to. That is no way to live. We don't want to use our thought faculty that way. What we want to do is engage in genuine and authentic prayer. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said something to the effect that prayer, true prayer, is the contemplation of the facts of life from the highest point of view. Because true prayer lifts the mind to a new level. True prayer is a different kind of thinking, a wider kind of thinking. And whenever we have thoughts that lessen our aliveness, we have to stop them. So when we're rehearsing hurt that we may have had, and say, we have to say to ourselves, when that comes up, stop that. I have the power to put it to a halt. I have the power to take my attention and take my power back. Now, it's easier said than done, because that's not always easy. Sometimes it's arduous work. Sometimes we're so steeped into some unforgiveness, we want to skip the work. We want to stay home, so to speak. And we may be lost in the most difficult work that we have to do, but if we don't do it, we will not get the reward. You know, the Buddha said we forgive others not because they deserve it, they may or may not, but because we deserve it. We deserve it. And so when we do not forgive, we're giving someone or something power over us. And so to stop the avalanche of negativity from creeping into our awareness, creeping into our own consciousness, we do that by engaging in positive self-talk. Because all of our human experiences, everything that we experience, is a result of our own self-contemplation, not what's happening out there. So understand that the energy affects what we see. And as I said, there can be no divine and perfect idea. There could be a divine and perfect idea right in front of us, I should say. And we may miss it. So if our thoughts are not on the thoughts of God, the thoughts of peace, the thoughts of harmony and forgiveness, those high vibration thoughts, but on resentment, retribution, revenge, we will miss out on the plentiful harvest of divine idea that the Spirit of God has always given to us, for us. So we're reminded that forgiveness is for the forgiver. The other person, situation, may not change one whit. It may change exactly, at all. It may not change at all. So when someone seems to have done harm to us, when the world seems to have done harm to us, someone, somewhere within us has to find the vibration that we can love anyway. And love is not a feeling, it's meaning that you give one form of energy for an exchange for the next form of energy that someone gives you. We're not condoning the act. We're seeing the truth, because we can separate the fact of a person and the truth about them, because the ultimate truth about everyone is they are children of God. We may have forgotten that. You know, this loving Christ presence, this God presence, is not their misguided notion that they picked up on their own. They just don't know. They're just ignorant about who they are. And the reality is we cannot fall out of this divine love. No matter what we say about God, most people say that God is love, and we literally cannot fall out of this presence that is always around us. Falling out of this divine love would be like falling out of a swimming pool. You can't fall out of a swimming pool. But the difference is we can either swim in the shallow or we can swim in the deep end. Once you fall in the pool, which means that you're recreated in the image and likeness and out of God, you fall into a sea of love, your role is to swim into the deep end. But a lot of folks just stay in the shallow end. And the shallow end simply means I'll only love those people who I like. I only love those people that agree with me. I only love those people that are on my side. I only love those people who think I'm right. But we're called to go to the deep end, to love those who spitefully use us, to love those who persecute us, to love those who do not agree with us, to love those who are not on our side, but the reality, you know, there are no sides. There's only one side. That's the side of the presence of God. Love at the deeper end includes everyone. And there's a purifying energy when we do that. So we can stand, and we can hear, and we can resonate with God's intention for our life. You know, like I said, some people say they don't want to go to that deep end. They say, if I, you know, forgive that person, I got to still hang out with them, and, you know, like them and all that. It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that the resentment, the animosity, the separation is diminished. And we no longer hold others responsible for our experiences. You know, sometimes we purify awareness by forgiving ourselves. Sometimes we start with just forgiving ourselves. I think about my own self-forgiveness for sabotaging my life earlier in my life. As a result of my own riotous living and addiction. And as a person who's made every mistake humanly possible and lived to talk about it, that's a whole other story. I'm here to tell you, it does not matter. And once I did get that forgiveness and cleared the field of my own awareness by canceling out unforgiveness, letting it go, cutting it loose, I was able to see the possibilities that were there for me. And my life unfolded in a totally different way. I've been mentioning that I've been reading Anita Mujani's book, Dying to Be Me. I've been mentioning it a lot because I'm getting a lot out of it. And she says that one reason she experienced a healing was that the damaging, unforgiving thoughts about herself were completely wiped out. You know, she did like Myrtle Fillmore, who had to forgive herself for judging herself for being sick. And Murjani realized that she was mistaken to have such a thought pass through her consciousness, to have such thoughts about herself, about her life. You know, the reality is we're all going to make mistakes. You know, like an actor who's in a rehearsal and you know, they flubbed their lines and made a mistake in saying their lines, and they just tell them, you know, time for a retake. They had a chance to do it again. They just took a mistake, and they say, just do it again. This is take one, take two, take three. We take as many takes as we need until we get it right, just like that actor. You know, in our own lives, we can realize that sometimes we're just off. And when we realize we're off our car, we're off what we believe ourselves to be, when we realize that, we move closer to enlightenment. Now, the average person doesn't know that they're off. They think hostility and resentment and beating themselves up, they think that's normal. And unfortunately, they are sleepwalking and not realizing that they've got life askew. But when we realize that we're off, we have come to an awakened consciousness. We can go within and we can forgive ourselves and begin again. Because understand that God has no issue with us. God does not have to forgive us because this presence, this force, this energy field is never in a state of unforgiveness. I would say that, you know, if God had human qualities and God could get upset, this presence of God would be upset because we're living too small. We're constricting ourselves with these beliefs about life and ourselves and not accepting what God is seeking to give us all of the time. The idea is this. We don't want to harbor resentment for ourselves or for anyone else and hold that in our own awareness, our own consciousness. If we're harboring a negative energy field within our field of consciousness, it'll reflect itself in our outer world. We'll get a whole new life experience. You know, as that hermetic principle says, as within, so without. And simply that means that if within us there's any resentment or animosity toward anyone, toward anything, any desire for retribution of any kind, or places within our minds or within our hearts
that are unsafe for other people to travel because we'll nuke them with criticism or nuke them with a prejudice, then we're trying to say I'm right, they're wrong. If we have that consciousness, if there's a place within our minds that's unsafe for other people to travel, it will be a corresponding vibration in our external world. Well, there'll be snipers and places that are unsafe for people to travel. What we want to do when we get there is realize it and then go within. Clean up the inner static of our soul and replace it with a consciousness of peace and harmony and goodwill and the qualities of the presence of God. And then I think what will happen, we'll discover that the external world will begin to correspond to those inner places of the divine, loving presence that we are here to be. And we'll no longer see the world as it appears at times when it's at its lowest point. We'll no longer see the world coming to us, you know, through the television or the news or the internet or Twitter or whatever else people use today. We won't see that. We'll begin to see what the prophets of old have seen from the beginning. Heaven on earth. Harmony on earth. Peace on earth. Maybe all this that we're going through is to help us realize that is what's important. But as Martin Luther King said, you know, peace and all the good stuff will not come on the wheels of inevitability. It takes work on ourselves. Takes work on our consciousness. We're talking about praying to ourselves in such a way that this dynamic spirit within us can set us free. Anyway, as I close out, just know that practice is the key. You know, we can have all of these ideas, but regardless of our philosophy, regardless of our theology, our real theology, our real religious belief is what we do. We start with ourselves. And I believe our charge is to emerge as our true self by purifying our awareness, purifying our consciousness through forgiveness so we can capture a spiritual idea and let it be planted in our life so that we will grow, so that we will evolve, and it will become the activity of ourselves, just like that man that I spoke with, the father of the son who was killed by that gang member. What he did was see an opportunity for something new to emerge that could benefit him as well as all those that he came into contact with. I think in purifying our consciousness through forgiveness, we not only will be receptive and see those ideas for ourselves in our individual lives, we'll begin to see the grand plan that this infinite presence we call God has that we can actively participate in. But we must, as always, do the inner work. And we'll have plenty of opportunities. You know, the universe is always working to provide a maximum learning experience for our soul. And someone says, God loves us too much to leave us alone. So, you know, we'll have all these growth opportunities right now. You know, we can look around the world right now, see why we're in the situation right now, who's to blame, as I was thinking about. And we may be our wits' end with this shelter in place. All the other measures that across the country that we're going through. And when we begin to try to have any kind of resentment toward anything or anything, a country, a person, a political person, we'll be lowering our vibration. Not to say we don't make people accountable, but we want to respond from the Christ of our being and ultimately say, spiritually, what does that mean to me? Follow thou thee. Follow the presence of God. In other words, as Jesus said, get thee behind me, crazy thought. And we will keep our awareness pure so that we can be the clear vessels, the clear vehicles of the Spirit of the living God. When we do that, we'll see, we'll feel that vision that's in our heart. Even in all the stuff that's going on that God has for us, there's something that it wants to have us realize and wants to chase us down. We may be trying to chase it, the love of God, but we'll find it is chasing us. And we'll put ourselves in a position to make that happen through forgiveness, because it will open up the window of opportunity that which is chasing us will be welcome in and as our life. So there is that opportunity. Forgiveness is that window of opportunity for more and more good to come. We accept it, we affirm it, we declare it, and we give thanks for it. Peace and blessings to you. Well, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for being part of today's online celebration service here at Spiritual Life Center. You know, as we continue to navigate through this COVID-19 experience, we're reminded of the power of release, the power of forgiveness, and how it opens up opportunities that we otherwise may not have seen. Today, as we do each week during this time, express special thanks to our Spiritual Life Center staff, the AB team, Ira and Cameron, who does the Wednesday service, Paula, who gathers up the music, Reverend Deborah, who has done our meditation, as well as Celia from Modern Roots Marketing, and all those who have worked behind the scenes to make this online experience happen each week. This is your opportunity now to help us to not only continue offering this experience, but also help us continue to offer the experience that we bring on Wednesday with the WOW program, our prayer experiences throughout the week, the meditation times, the classes, and other things that take place throughout the week other than Sunday. So I invite you to support Spiritual Life Center with your donation and give what you can. Believe me, it makes a difference and is very, very much appreciated. You can give by texting SLC Love to 44321. Text to SLC Love 44321. Or go to our website, slcworld.org, and click the donate tab to give in other ways, including by mail. We thank you, we appreciate you, and we behold the magnificence that you are. And now let's say together our offertory blessing. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I circulate. Thank you, God.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making a mantle, lifting my head. Of all of the things that I am grateful for, Early in the morning, it's a dawn of a new day, new hopes, new dreams, new ways. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today. Early in the morning, it's a dawn of a new day, new hopes, new dreams, new ways. I open up my heart and I'm gonna do my part and make this a positively beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Life is a challenge, not a competition. You can still smell the roses and be on a mission. Just take a moment to get in touch with your heart. Sometimes you feel like you've got got something to prove. Remind yourself that there's only one you. Just take a moment to give thanks for who. Early in the morning, it's the dawn of a new day. New hopes, new dreams, new ways. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today. Early in the morning, it's the dawn of a new day. New hopes, new dreams, new ways. I open up my heart and I'm gonna do my part and make this a positively beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Let's make this so wonderful. Let's make this so powerful. Let's make this so beautiful day. It's a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is
now with that, let us join together and sing our peace song.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center.